All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, November 25th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a three-game NBA main slate, a single NHL showdown, and a two-game college football slate as well. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. We will only be having this show up until Wednesday, given the holiday this week. So office hours today, and then office hours tomorrow. Tomorrow will be our last show of the week. But enough about that. Let's get SaberSim pulled up here. Got the NBA slate pulled up for tonight. And then we had some questions come in prior to the show. A couple questions coming in live now. We will get to all the questions before the end of the show. And we are just going to work our way top down. So first question of the day. Happy Thanksgiving week, everyone. Say that again. What are the pros and cons of changing projections if you need to force exposure on a single player in your lineups? Also, do you have any hints on how you would build lineups for a small slate like the NBA slate this evening? All right. So two questions. We're going to answer the as far as any like tips, ideas go, we will capture that with the slate demo. So let's answer this first part. What are the pros and cons of changing projections if you need a force exposure on a single player in your lineups? Good question. So first off, if you're trying to force exposure, right? Well, the first thing that you should try is setting a minimum exposure to the player, right? That is the first thing that I would do, that I would recommend. Now, if that's not working, right, if you're still having trouble, then I think it makes sense to adjust projections, right? The whole point of doing it in this format is to, you know, it's kind of like, hey, why are you forcing exposure to the player? Well, I think they're going to have a good game. Well, what does a good game mean, right? Generally speaking, people who think somebody's going to have a good game means they're probably going to perform better than their average, right? I'm not playing Franz Wagner because I think he's going to score his projection. I think he's going to have a good game, an above average game, right? So what does that approach? Well, that probably approaches his 75th percentile, his 85th percentile. You know, you're basically taking the stand that, hey, I think his outcome tonight is going to be closer to maybe his 75th percentile outcome, right? Which is about 5 points higher than his current projection. Now, I'm not saying, you know, boost him 5 points, but I'm saying tell the builder, you know, hey, I think this player is going to do better for whatever, you know, wherever that take came from. And by forcing the project, but by pushing the projection up, you're telling the builder, hey, you know, I think this guy's going to have a little bit better game. The builder will just more naturally get exposed to players with higher projections. And that will, you know, when you use like the exposure and the projection together, it will just make it more likely the builder is able to get to your exposures, right? The only negative of that would be if you're wrong, right? If you are wrong, you have effectively hijacked the builder into giving you more exposure to a play that ended up not performing very well, right? So you got to be careful with these things. I always say that if you're going to be consistently adjusting projections, consistently making these exposure takes, you know, write them down and track them, right? Open up an Excel file and just say like, hey, you know, I boosted this guy. Did he go above my projection or below, right? Or did he go above or below the Saberson projection, right? Maybe Franz Wagner, I boost him 2 points. And I want to know, hey, was he above or below the Saberson projection? And then if you do that for enough players, right, you're going to get a decent sample. And then I would say that if you are, you know, right 50% of the time, then it's probably not the highest value thing you can do. But if you're correct, you know, 60%, 70% of the time, well, now you're really adding value because you are right so much more than you are wrong. And that's going to lead to you ending up on better plays in the long term, right? So just being objective with yourself is important, and tracking it and, you know, seeing it right there is a really good thing to do, in my opinion. All right. We have some questions, kind of, it looks like definition based around ownership, right? Flagship MMV versus low stakes versus my own, match exposure to ownership, generate field from ownership, right? A lot of these like ownership type questions. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about these. So first off, the values, this can vary depending on what plan you're on, right? If you're on starter, you only have access to one set of ownership, which is like the large field ownership that you're going to see across the industry. This is for the, you know, if we go to the contest tab, we're basically projecting the ownership for the large field 150 max, right? The fadeaway, the $18 150, or if it's football, it's like the $20 150, 150 max milli maker, right? So always like the large field ownership by default. Now, the my own is a reflection of the flagship MME own, right? So flagship MME own equals my own by default. The reason there's two columns, so you can adjust it, right? What if I think Luka's going to be higher owned, right? I can change this while still seeing the SaberSim default. Same for projections, right? There's a SaberSim projection column, and then there's a my projection column. This just allows you to make updates. It's an editable column. Now, on starter, you're only going to see the one ownership. On ultimate, you're going to have the option of multiple sets of ownership. Now, if you change these, right, if I look at flagship ownership and I just sort by highest ownership to lowest and I change to low stakes MME, you know, these are going to change, right? Justin Edwards changed from 43% to 39%. A bunch of other players below him changed as well. We have basically back tested every contest in the DFS lobby, and I'm referring to like GPPs specifically, where we have effectively grouped contests together based on stakes and based on entry limit and determined, hey, you know, these contests play really similar. These contests play a lot different, right? You can see this. If I go to like high stakes single entry, Justin Edwards goes up to 78% ownership, right? So what's happening is in high stakes contests, the players in those contests are playing these plays at a much higher rate, right? These are usually like higher value plays. Edwards is the highest value play on the slate. So the high stakes lineups are playing these players at a much higher rate than say the low stakes MME lineups are, right? Low stakes MME, these players are lower owned. So the my own allows you to change between the multiple options, but the flagship MME own is just like a static column, doesn't change. Now, as far as what some of these options down here mean, right? A match exposure to ownership effectively sets a min and max exposure based on a player's ownership. So if I click match exposure to ownership, get these boxes, it'll say set your min exposure X percent below the player's ownership, and then your max percent exposure above the player's ownership, right? So when I click this, I get max exposures for every player. I get minimum exposures for every player. Now, this tool or this functionality was designed to help people use custom ownership to build lineups to sim against effectively. So what you used to have to do is upload custom ownership Your ownership would go to the My Own column. You would set your min and max exposures all at once for the players. And then you would run a build to create a lineup or to create a set of lineups based around your custom ownership that you uploaded. And then you would use this build as the field to sim against. So you would have like one build with your field and then one build with your actual lineups. And then you would contest sim against that. We've changed that the way you have to do that, but the optionality is still here. So the new way to do it is the other question you asked about, which is the generate field from ownership. So now all you need to do is upload your ownership and then click generate field from ownership. You no longer have to take that additional step of setting the min and max exposures and then running the build. And then the other thing is that when you use generate field from ownership, it will generate the lineups kind of in like a separate tab and it will not be within a build. So those are all just different ways of utilizing custom ownership that are at your disposal. All right, next question. What is a good ROI number I should be looking for? Good question. So ROIs are going to change based on the contest that you are playing. And you can see this if you look in contest flashback like pretty easily. So let's say we go back to yesterday and we'll go to the NBA slate, because I think there's going to be a good example of this that I can think of. All right. So I'm on the NBA slate from yesterday. Now let's say that I go and look, and I'm just going to look at 150 max contests, right? All right. So notice that, you know, all these contests have a different number of effective entrants, right? Okay, let's go and look at the mini max, the largest one, right? There was like a large mini max and then a small mini max. So we look at the large mini max, and we'll let this load. Go over to users. We're going to look at people who max this out. And I think it's still loading. Okay, 150 years, sim ROI. All right, so highest sim ROIs in this contest from people who maxed it are north of 60%, approaching 70%, right? So like pretty high here, pretty good stuff. Well, let's go and look at, instead of like the large field 150, let's look at the small mini max, right? The $2 mini max. And then let's see what kind of ROIs we see in this contest. So we do have a couple of high sim ROIs. They're kind of outliers here, to be quite honest with you. We have one player at 55. So the highest was 69 versus 54 here. And then we have a total of three players with double-digit sim ROI. So three players above 10%. That is a very small number compared to what we were just viewing in the other contest. So what that would say to me is that, hey, you know, the edge is lower in this contest and the edge is higher in the other contest. This is like maybe not the best example, but my point was that in some contests, the ROIs you can get are going to be higher. And then in some contests, the ROIs that you can get are going to be lower. So you shouldn't be looking for a specific number. What you should be doing is just saying, hey, in this contest that I'm simming, you know, this is the highest ROI. And I'm just going to use that and kind of judge this contest based on that. Sometimes it's going to be 30%. Sometimes it's going to be 200%, right? So the format of the contest is always going to determine it, but there isn't a certain ROI number that you're shooting for. And it is okay if your top ROI is sometimes lower than a different contest, a different day, because that will vary day to day. All right. Next question. Good day, Andrew. Why is it that when I remove players, then sim lineups, it tells me my removed players' exposures can't be met, and it forces me to include them to get a clean build. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. This is more along the lines of like a troubleshooting question. You know, there's something going wrong, some error being thrown. When you run into errors like this, right, the best thing to do is go to the top right, go to this report a problem. This will send a report to our team with a lot more technical information than like I'm aware of or really understand. But it will allow our team to get a better sense of like, hey, what errors are being thrown? Why are they being thrown? What's going on? And what can we do to resolve this, right? So when you send these in, it goes to our team, and then we're able to kind of troubleshoot it and take it from there. So I would do that next time that happens to you. And then, you know, we can figure out what's going on. All right. Next question. Is this optimizer good for FanDuel cash games? And how do I adjust to have competitive lineups? Thanks. Okay. Good question. So let's go back to today. I will show how I would build a cash lineup. Now, disclaimer is we don't recommend people play cash games here at SaberSim. You can use SaberSim to build cash lineups, but basically the idea here is that, you know, projections in 2025 are better than they've ever been in DFS. And when you factor in the rake, it is very hard to make a good ROI playing cash games. We basically take the approach that our back testing across cash and GPPs has shown that your dollars are effectively better spent playing GPPs, because that is where the edge is left. That is where you can achieve a higher ROI. Now, if you want to play cash, totally cool. Just wanted to throw that out there. Now, let's say I go to FanDuel and we go to the main slate. So for building a cash lineup, the way I would do that is I would go to a build. First thing I would do is change my settings from build mode sim to optimizer. In cash, you generally want to play the highest projected lineups. So optimizer mode builds the highest projected lineup possible first, and then the second one, and then the third one, and so on and so forth. Sim mode doesn't do that. So you want to use optimizer mode for cash. I would only build as many lineups as you need. I'm just going to build 20 here. All right, almost done. All right, so lineups ran. I'm going to create a group here. The other thing that you want to do for cash specifically is change diversity from portfolio to uniques one, and then change the rank by to projected score. So these are like the two things that you would want to do with cash is build mode optimizer, sort by projected score. And then you would still want to late swap throughout the evening with the same settings, right? If projections change, you want to get the new greatest projected lineup. So don't forget to late swap even when playing cash, but that's effectively what you want to do. All right, next question. Can we get some updated NBA content? I've watched every video multiple times and I'm still getting killed. NFL has been good though. We do not, or we've moved away from sport specific content. It's a more recent change. You know, we are really trying to put out content in Saber School and the Saber system specifically that allows you to use an approach shown across multiple sports. So I would really recommend, if you've watched a lot of stuff, if you haven't watched this one, I know this one's like a little newer, the Scale Your Game Stage 2 video. This is probably where you need to be at, I would say. If you've never watched any of these videos, I think starting from the ground up is a good one. There's a couple different styles here. There's like a couple different, like the Picker's Guide and the Hand Brothers Guide, going to be a little similar, but, you know, still different nuggets in both. I think stage 2, Scale Your Game, is probably where you need to be at. But I do not expect us to be having sport-specific content very much going forward based off of what I've been told. All right, next question. Thanks. Didn't even know about the optimizer switch thing. Appreciate it. Right on. Glad we were able to do that. All right, I actually figured it out while waiting for your response. It helps. If it helps anyone who else who has this problem, instead of removing players from position, I remove them from the all tab and it worked. Oh, okay. I totally know what you're talking about now. So what we're discussing is, and this is probably better on DraftKings because they have a utility position. So this is definitely something to be aware of. Players, right, will have different positions. I think a lot of people actually like to go position by position, kind of looking at guys, right? And maybe they like remove somebody, right? Well, maybe here I remove Cam Whitmore. You know, I uncheck him. I don't want to play him, whatever. Well, I have removed him from small forward only. He still has power forward eligibility. So if I were to go to the power forwards, he is checked. So I've basically told SaberSim, hey, don't play this player as a small forward. And SaberSim will say, okay, fine, I won't do that. But I still can play him as a power forward, so it will play him there. That can be not what some people intend. I've seen people do this both ways, which is why this exists. Some people are like, hey, I don't want to play this guy as a point guard. I only want to play him as like a shooting guard, right? I've seen kind of both of those versions. The way to capture all of a player's positional eligibility is to go to the alt tab, right-click on position, and go position by position here. Because if I uncheck John Collins, who has power forward, center, forward, and utility eligibility, if I uncheck him from all, this will remove him from any exposure across any of his eligible positions. Now, keep in mind that it will not auto-uncheck him in the other ones, I believe. If I go to power forward. Maybe it did. Oh, yeah, it did get rid of him. Well, I was wrong about that. But either way, that is how you do it. So I'm glad you're able to figure that one out. All right. For NFL, when I want more of a player in my lineups, I normally increase their projections, but sometimes it will still give me not a good amount I want. Is there an easier way to get more of a player? The easiest way is to increase their minimum exposure. This says, hey, I want this player's in a minimum, say 20% of my lineups, right? So I set Luka to 20%. It can be better to do this before you start your build, right? Because if I run my build and there's only 5% of him in my pool, well, forcing him, there just might not be enough lineups available to get the exposure I want. So at that point, you could always re-click the build lineups button. It'll say rebuild lineups, or you could set them before your build and then do that before your initial build. So minimum exposure, some combination of minimum exposure and projection adjustments are the best way to get more of the players you want in your lineups. All right, next question. If I purchase SaberSim with one of your partners, will I still be able to use the mobile app, or is that only available through SaberSim? Good question. So you should still be able to use SaberSim on a mobile device. You will just still access it the same way you do through the partner. So whatever partner you choose, their partner site has a mobile version and you can still use SaberSim from a phone. All right, checking here. One more question in office hours, and then I know I owe Jimmy Type a slate demo for NBA today. Can you explain the portfolio sim EV and the flashback ROI that appear in the contest tab What is being calculated when it appears? Does it update? It seems to be a little hit and miss. So the flashback ROI is supposed to be an average of all of your contests flashback ROI. So everything you played, it's looking at your ROIs and then giving you kind of like a summary number saying, hey, this is how your flashback ROI was kind of averaged out across all your contests. The portfolio EV is kind of similar. I know it does this when a slate is live, like after all the games have locked. There's another column that appears called Sim EV. And it's basically like, hey, in this contest, we think your Sim EV is X dollars. And this one, it's Y dollars. And this one is Z dollars. The portfolio EV is just a sum of all of those Sim EVs. So like what I would do is like come in after like the Laker game starts, give it like 15, 20 minutes. When all the games are locked, we know all the lineups, we processed all of the remaining players that were previously hidden, you will be able to see the Sim EV column, and then the portfolio EV is a sum of that Sim EV column. All right. So far, so good. Why don't we jump into a slate demo here? So I'm going to build some lineups for this NBA slate for tonight. So first thing is just two adjustments, two projections. I'm not really going to touch anything else. Min salary is lower. It's a smaller slate. I think that's okay. So we'll let SaberSim give SaberSim some control here. Give it the reins and use the sims to determine which lineups are going to be best. So I'm just going to build a smaller number of lineups here. And we will get into the post build once these lineups load. All right, lineups are loading. All right, I'm going to go to my groups here. I'm going to create a group. I'm just going to create a group and use uniques one since I don't have an entry file uploaded to use portfolio with. I'm going to use Saber score because the new Saber score is better than the old. And I'm going to sort by exposure. So here, right, I got 20 lineups for NBA for tonight. Using uniques, my exposures are probably going to be a little bit more concentrated. So need to be a little bit more hands-on. Now, let's say that I want to basically have a rule that I don't want to use a player at any more than 2x their ownership, right? Okay, so then I can come in and set some max exposures, 65%, 70%, 80%, 60%. And I've set five exposures here, right? Portfolio would probably do a little bit better job at spreading this out automatically for me, but got to be a little bit more hands-on here. And now I've done that. The only person I got to readjust is Kyshawn George and maybe Sar here. Set two more. And however much leverage you're okay with is a little subjective. Here I'm just saying 2x their ownership. I think that's like a fine baseline rule if you want to borrow that. But here I've set some exposures. Everyone else is kind of below that 2x threshold. Still getting some positive leverage on players. Still taking some decent stands on these guys at the top. One thing I like to do is sort by value. Value is very important in NBA. And I have plenty of leverage and plenty of exposure to the top value plays on the slate. The top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 value plays, I have positive leverage on all of them. Basically neutral on the 8 and 9, some more positive leverage on 10, 11, 12. So I think this is like totally fine here. I like what I'm seeing. And so I would be pretty happy with this. And then basically from here, right, I would be prepared to late swap. If you're on Ultimate, I would absolutely late swap before the Clippers-Lakers game, just because these other two games are probably going to be done. And when they are done, we're going to know the actual scores that all the players played. And then you can re-optimize your lineups based on that information before the last game of the night gets started. So I think there's a very prime late swap opportunity, even if there is no news in this 5 to 8 Pacific time window here. So I would take advantage of that playing tonight and you have contest sims. All right, next question. How do you take five players from one game? I'm not 100%. I guess you could set a rule for this. You know, I could set a rule that says group use at least five, group by team. Now, it would depend if you want this to apply to any team or some teams. If you only wanted this to apply to one team or two teams or something, right? Well, maybe I would do a stack. I'd probably say stack. I like the advanced options. Actually, maybe I would do stack basic. Stack basic, at least five, and then I would change my eligible teams. So my face is in the way. I'm going to move over. Stack basic, at least five. Decide which teams you want to allow in the stack would be probably the way I would do that. The lineups that I'm looking at right now are for DraftKings. I wouldn't recommend like taking one and playing it this early in the day. The reason for that is that news in NBA comes out very late. And the reason for it is because the NBA is looser on their requirements for how soon prior to a game lineups have to be out. So I think that projections will probably fluctuate between now and then. I think if you want to build lineups early, get something in just so you have some placeholders, that's totally okay. I would really try and highly recommend. What I would recommend is doing your final build within 15 minutes of the game starting. Also be aware that when the lineups are confirmed, we put check marks next to the teams here, saying, hey, this team has officially released their lineup. We've simmed the game with that exact lineup and taking all of that information into account. So be aware of the check marks as well. All right. I'm not 100% sure if I'm following you, Javier. So it seems like you want to know if this is building five stacks for tonight, like if five stacks are eligible. It is building some, right? But it's not building a lot. You know, you come down here, five mans are less than 2% of overall lineups, or actually less than 3%. There's five twos and then five stacks. So this makes up about 3% of my pool. The builder is choosing to play one of those in my top 20. So are five stacks viable? Yes. Are they the most popular stack? No. So that is what the builder is telling us, right? We're basically asking the builder, hey, do you think five stacks are viable? And it's giving us its answer in the form of exposures. Next question, is it a bad idea to use an optimal build for a late swap? So I think that whatever you use pre-slate, you should continue to use post-slate. So if you use optimizer mode pre-slate, you should continue to use optimizer mode in late swap. If you use sim mode pre-slate, I would recommend continuing to stick with sim mode in late swap. And the reason for that is that some of your players and some of your salaries are locked in, right? They're locked in using that methodology. If you take a lineup and start it one way, but then switch it, I think that the lineup is basically not going to be good in either direction because you were like going one direction and then you like turned. And so you got like half of your lineup going one direction, half going the other. And I don't think that really makes for like a good lineup. So pick an avenue and then just stick with it the whole night. All right, as far as game stacks go, should I just group by team? So if you're trying to game stack, right, I would go back to this stack at least X. And then what you can do is you could turn on this with button and then decide how many players you want from the other team. So let's say I want to do a five stack on one side and then I want at least two players on the other side, right? I would set it up like this. So the with option allows you to start including the opposing team, which would give you that game stack. All right. Next question. What are your thoughts on tackling, I'm assuming, fantasy points per minute with a slate like this? Any rules or ways to organize the tabs and look out for, in your opinion? I think it's okay if you want to adjust projections, and if you feel like, hey, I have, you know, some knowledge, I think knowledge is the right word, with adjusting fantasy points per minute, I think that's an okay thing to do. I don't think if you adjust this, it adjusts the projections. But what you can do is you can use that information, right? So, like, let's say that I think Justin Edwards, maybe he's going to be more involved and get more usage, right? Okay. So then what I would do is I would take his minutes, 31.75, and then maybe I give him a 0.1 fantasy point per minute boost at 0.88 instead of 0.78. Now this is his new projection that I should use instead of 24. Always take your updated fantasy points per minute, multiply it by the minutes to get your updated projection, would be my way of doing that. And then as far as rules or anything, you know, I think this is an important idea. The less games on the slate there are, the less I would be willing, the less I would want to use rules. Now, rules and heuristics can be good on average, right? But less games leads to more variance, and you effectively want to let the sim give you players that might not be the best play on average, but they can be the best play in a high variance format. So I would be more inclined to, like, say a rule that people use in NBA, right? A rule I can think of is use no more than three players from one team. This is a old common NBA heuristic, right? That's something like this. I would be more inclined to use this on like an 11 game slate than I would be a 3-game slate. On a 3-game slate, I'm like, hey, you know, let's leave this open. You know, what if a game goes to overtime? What if, you know, one team, like, they just play at like a really high pace? You know, 4 could be like totally viable in this format. So I think the less games on the slate, the less inclined I am to use rules and things like that. All right. Another question. Can you please show how to hide players with no projection? Yeah. So let's say, you know, I'm going through here, going team by team, and I don't want to see all these guys, you know, down on the bottom, right? What I would do is make a filter that looks like this. It says show players with my projection greater than zero, with my proj greater than zero. And then after you do that, you use this hide removed players button, and that will take them off of the screen. So create the filter, use the hide remove players, and then those players will go away. AK said, thanks. You're welcome. Aside from that, I think we're all caught up with questions here. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our last show of the week. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.